Blog Talk Radio.
You are now tuned in to Facing Your Fears with evangelist Norma Chapman and Pastor Doris Smith. The host of Facing Your Fears on Blog Talk Radio is evangelist Norma Chapman. Ms. Chapman has interviewed many guests that have been an inspiration as well as a blessing to many of her listeners. She's the author of What Faith Can and currently writing three other books. She studied and attended Union Baptist Theological College of New Orleans. She's also an associate minister at Greater Liberty Baptist Church under the leadership of Dr. Calvin W. Woods, Jr. Sits on the NAACP Executive Committee and formerly a member of SCLC Justice for Girls. Pastor Doris Smith, co-host. Pastor Smith, 29 years of service in the government from the position of procurement contracting supervisor. She's a pastor, a teacher, an author, a certified professional speaker, a life and inspirational coach, and the host of the Power Hour, Light of Inspiration and Motivation. A caregiver, a beautiful wife, a wonderful mother, a grandmother, and just an all-around people person. And now it's time for Facing Your Fears with evangelist Norma Chapman, with her co-host, Pastor Doris Smith.
Good evening to all our listeners on today. Yeah, you're now tuned in to Facing Your Fears radio talk show, hosted by yours truly, Ben, Ms. Norma Chapman. We have an awesome show prepared for you on today, but as always, let's bow our heads for our opening prayer, and we're going to have Evangelist Perkins do our opening prayer on today. Evangelist Perkins.
Father God, we come in the name of Jesus, just wanting to thank you for allowing us, dear God, to be on the show one more time. And thank you, Heavenly Father, for each and every guest and all the listeners, Heavenly Father. We glorify you, give you the glory, the honor, and the praise this day for everything in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 We do have a special guests in the studio with us on today. I'm so excited to have them on the show. But remember, as always, listen, you can join in on this awesome topic just by pressing that number one on your phone. If you have any questions, comments, I just want to share your thoughts on today's topic. Today's topic is remembering the struggles then and now. And if you stay tuned with us as we go forward, you will hear from our special guests. And as I bring them into the studio, they're going to introduce themselves to you one by one, and we will have a short bio. Each one of them will present a very short bio so we can know something about our guests on today. But I'm going to give you a little emphasis on today's topic, remembering the struggles then and now. We as the people have come a long way, but still have a long way to go. On today, our guests will be walking down memory lane and remembering those who struggled and paved the way. Although we must remember where we come from and stop to realize where we are now. By the grace of God, we all have come a mighty long way. Yesterday is past and gone. Today is still before us, and tomorrow is yet to come. Stay tuned as we continue to take this walk down memory lane with our guests on today. We have in the studio with us on today the NAACP New Orleans branch. We have the officers, and as I yield to bring them into the studio with us at this time, they are going to give you their name and their position that they serve here in our great city of New Orleans. We're going to start with the first vice president. Second, we will hear from the secretary. And then we will hear from our treasurer. And I'm going to yield and let them come at this time. First vice president, would you introduce yourself to our listeners on today and give us a short bio about yourself?
Yes, I'm Bobby Pierce. I was born and raised in Laurel, Mississippi, and I got involved in the NAACP at an early age. My father made sure that we did that, and at that time we could not present ourselves as NAACP, so we had to present ourselves as a youth council choir, and we went across the state having sessions, and so that's where I am. I spent I spent years as the second chief deputy registrar of voters for Orleans Parish that was of color. The first one was Lewis Keller, who ascended to the position of registrar.
All right. Awesome. Now we will hear from our branch secretary as she come forth and introduces herself to our listeners and give us a short bio about herself.
Good evening. My name is Linda Paysant. I am born and raised in New Orleans, Louisiana. Come from a family of 12 children. My father, a longshoreman, my mother, a housewife. I have four kids of my own and two grandkids. And we all try to be productive citizens in the city of New Orleans, in the community. And we are glad to be a part of this wonderful program. I'm the secretary of the New Orleans branch. I've been a part of the NAACP for quite some time. And I enjoy working with the people and the community. Thank you.
All right. What an awesome, you know, listeners, we do have a beautiful and wonderful NAACP, and they've been serving these offices is not only serving with this administration, but they have been serving for many, many years. Now we're going to hear from our NAACP president at this time.
Good evening. My name is Shirley Simon. I'm a retired educator. I retired from Southern University Ag Center in Baton Rouge. I taught for 30 years. I have one son and three grandchildren. I was born in Selma, Alabama. Yes, the notorious Selma, Alabama. However, I was raised in New Orleans, Louisiana. And I've been a member of the NAACP for approximately 30 years. I am a lifetime member. Okay, and thank you. And I'm happy to be here.
All right. And I, as always, we do have in the studio with us our co-host, none other than Pastor Dora Smith, out of Miami, Florida. We also have in the studio with us our good friend out of Baton Rouge, Louisiana, none other than Gerald Perkins. As we go forward on today, we are going to let our co-host through our guest, and we're going to let Ms. Perkins, is that Ms. Perkins, salute them, and we're going to go straight into the show. We're going to yield and turn it over to our guest after the co-host and Ms. Perkins greet our guest on today. Co-host.
Good afternoon. Greetings and blessings to everyone. I'm just so grateful and glad to be a part of it, and I just look forward to hearing what you have to say with all the many years that you have as it relates to this topic.
All right. Now we will hear from Evangelist Perkins.
Good evening. I am so glad to be able to be on today, to be able to listen to you all, that I also may learn something more, whatever. This is my first time having the opportunity to listen or talk to anybody from the NAACP personally.
All right, and I want you to know, Evangelist Perkins, that our state president lives there in the state of Baton Rouge, and I think we're going to have a state conference there in Baton Rouge this year. Our secretary will give you more information on that. But before that, we're going to bring forth our first vice president and let him begin to talk about the struggles that was then and the struggles that we're still going through now, and what we fight for and what we will continue to fight for, because, listen, we haven't gotten there yet. We still are fighting for justice, and we're going to yield him, bring in the first fight, and he will begin his presentation. After then, we will hear from the secretary, and afterwards we will hear from our awesome treasurer of our branch in the NAACP of the branch of New Orleans. First Vice President, how are you today once again?
Hello, doing fine, Evangelist Chapman.
Wonderful, Smith. In the NAACP, and I know you've been here many, many years, but how long have you served as the first vice president for the New Orleans branch?
I've served as the first vice president for 2 years as first vice president, but I've been in the branch. I've been in the branch for many, many years, and I've been a member of the NAACP since I was a child, and I'm now 76. So it's a long time.
All right, all right. What can you tell our listeners on today about the struggles that the people have been through and the struggles that we are now still going through? Can you share with our listeners on today in reference to your topic?
Yes, let me tell you. It's the only thing that really it kind of cringes your heart now. To see a disrespectful youth, knowing that what you've done all your life is to make sure that they had a better life and a better living, which means you had better education, you had a better life than we did initially, and that we thought that that was a struggle back then. We had to struggle, our parents struggled. You know, I'm just listening to I listened to Linda as she gave that. You know, that I came from a family of 11, and my father was a preacher. And, you know, if you remember something about the preachers, you know, the preachers was very involved in civil rights. And I had a sister that was, she was a member of the Tougaloo Nine, if you remember. That was the first group to protest in the state of Mississippi, my sister, Evelyn Pierce. So that is that we had to fight a long time. My parents fought. And we continue to fight, and we wanted to. What we had to do is that we know we had to get prepared to fight. And see, that's what you want the young folks now to do, is get prepared to fight and stay prepared. You know, we have our young folks, we lose our young folks to crime and to violence. And then those people, those young folks that's doing good, we send them off to the Ivy League schools. So they don't know, they've never heard of the HBCU. And they never about, but that's where the struggle is. Is that we got to get our kids educated, and that, you know, you don't want the kids to take what we had to take. You know, we don't want the yes sir and no sir and all that. We don't want that. We want a good yes, a wholesome yes and no, and make some decisions about your own future. That's what we want. And we don't, you know, the things with the video games, they say that, but the video games, they're not right unless you control it. And I'm not old folkish to believe that, you know, the kids can't do the video game. No. But it should be controlled. If you want 2 hours a night, do 2 hours. But that's what I'm saying is that we have to, we had to go then. You know, we had to go to church. And now they don't care whether the kids go or not. But I think that if we continue to do that kind of stuff, if that we continue to let the children get exposed to the good things in life, you know, they say it takes a village to raise a child. Oh, I believe that. It takes the whole village, and everybody must be listening to everybody, and everybody giving each other constructive criticism. You know, and that you can raise that child. So that's where I am, is that we have to continue to fight, because this fight is not, by far, this fight is not over. We have to continue this struggle, and we are in the middle of a struggle now. Is trying to educate our kids, keep them strong. You know, we say that if you give them a strong foundation in the Lord, you give them a strong foundation in the Lord, they will not stray when they get older. And that's a proven fact. So I think that that's where we are. Thank you for listening.
All right. So awesome. And then I agree with you, First Vice President, Mr. Pierce. I agree with you because our young people is just going haywire now. And, you know, we're losing our young people and to crime. And you all live in the city of New Orleans and the ones in the surrounding areas. You know what's going on in our surrounding areas. And that's because they need more guidance. They need more to be taught much better because, you know, if we don't get them lined up, what they're doing, they're losing their lives. I hear some noise in the background. in the studio at this time. Can we please not have it, because we don't want our listeners to not be able to hear our guests on today. I am going to yield to my co-host because my throat is sore and I'm hoarse, and she's going to come and she's going to go forward with our guest, and I'll be back. I'll be in the studio listening. I'll be back shortly. Co-host, would you please take the show? Thank you.
Yes. God bless you. Praise God. We're just going to continue to go forth. As I was listening, Mr. Pierce, praise the Lord, we're going to just continue to go forth to hear this information by those that are connected here this afternoon with such slather of knowledge and years in NAACP and understanding the struggle. We've heard from Mr. Pierce, and now we're going to yield to the second vice president, which is yourself, Dr. Chapman. Or we'll go to the secretary. We'll bring Ms. Linda Payson in.
Hi, good evening, Linda Payson. When Second Vice Evangeline Chapman gave us this topic, struggle from the past and now, it just brought to mind about the civil rights movement and what it really meant to the Black Americans. We fought. The movement was a political movement and a campaign back in the 1950s and the 60s for the United States to abolish the institutional racism and segregation and discrimination and infractions and throughout the United States. So we fought back then for the rights to vote, the right for fair trials and the rights for government and services and the right for education and just using public facilities. And I agree with my brother Pierce when he's saying that our children, I feel that they're not educated enough about our struggles. Now, we move to then. We need to set some boundaries for our kids to learn the true struggle. They give us 1 month for Black history, but Black history in our household should be every day of the week because we are Black. We should learn about our struggle, and we won't have all the mayhem that we are having now in our community. We have so much to do, so many things that we need to embark upon. We still dealing with voting problems. We still dealing with fair housing issues. We still dealing with redistricting right now of the Louisiana maps because they won't give us a proper patient in our legislators and our school systems, our school boards, and so many areas that we need to educate our kids on and educate ourselves, because I fall victim to that as well. We become complacent with the things that we have accomplished, that God has blessed us with, and we think that we have arrived. But I contest that we have a long way to go. We have a struggle that is real. Our kids are out there killing one another. They don't know our struggles. They, you know, the young kids are just running rapidly in mayhem, like Brother Pierce said. And we need to educate our children. We have to start with the young. They're our future. They bring forth the word. They bring forth the things that's going to happen when we're not here. So we need to increase the knowledge of the Black population. We cannot fall victim to not knowing what it is that we and where we need to go. And I think that we need to look at a whole lot of things. I mean, I talk about redistricting and poll problems. We have polling problems. They're trying to suppress our votes in every way that they can. Fair Housing Act. We dealt with that. They wouldn't even give us a house. Now we can get a house anywhere, but now they got gentrification. Houses are going up in Louisiana just alone. People can't afford rent. So it's just a lot of areas that we need to look at and continue to educate ourselves so that we can educate our kids. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Secretary Payson. She has shared so wonderfully. There's such vital information going forth. I'm just going to hold comments as we just go forth to bring everyone in, to give them a chance to share. After Treasurer Ms. Payson has spoken, we're going to, I'm sorry, Secretary, we're going to bring in our Treasurer, Ms. Shirley Simmons. Is Ms. Shirley Simmons?
Yes, this is Shirley Simmons.
Okay.
Yes,
okay.
Thank you.
Go right ahead.
All
mm-hmm.
right. What I'm going to talk about now is the struggle that was then and the struggle that is now. I know that while some things have improved markedly for Black Americans in the past 50-odd years, but today we are still fighting many of the same battles as Dr. King did in his day. I want to talk about the 1960s. During the long, hot summers from 1965 to 1968, American cities were, they had approximately 150 race riots and other uprisings. The protests were a sound of profound citizen anger about a nation that was, I'm sorry, I hear some confusion. Can you all hear me? Hear me? Hello?
I hear you.
Yes, I can hear
like
you.
You're coming in clearly, but it's like you're coming in and going out like a high.
There is a lot of noise
okay.
in the studio at this time. I don't know whose phone is doing it or someone in the background that's live in the studio, and only us is live in the studio at this time. So try and check the area if you have to move to another area, or if you're not talking at this time, put your phone on mute, except that my co-host and Ms. Perkins and the Treasurer who's talking now, but there's a lot of noise and not a lot of interference in the background. You may continue with your presentation.
Okay. What I want to talk about right now is then. From 1965 to 1968, we had approximately 150 race riots and other uprisings. The protests were a sign of profound citizen anger about a nation that was, according to the National Advisory Commission on Civil Disorder, moving toward two societies, one black and one white, separate and unequal. And economically, there was certainly a true, it was turned more, we had 10% of white people living below the poverty level back in the 60s, while nearly 34% of Americans, African Americans, did. Likewise, just 2% of white job seekers were unemployed, compared to 6.7% of black job seekers in 1960. That's what happened then. Now, let's talk about now. Now, somehow, so far, we as black people progressed. Well, how far have we as black people progressed since 1968? Have we gotten our fair share yet? That question has been on my mind a lot this month. In some ways, we barely budged as a people. Poverty is still too common in the U.S. In 1968, 25 million Americans, roughly 13% of the population, lived below poverty level. In 2016, 43.1 million, or more than 12.7% did, of African Americans. Today, black poverty rate of 21% is almost three times that of whites. Today, we're almost three times that of whites compared to the compared to 1968, the rate of 32% when blacks were. We have not budged. It has not been a huge improvement at all. So where are we going? Today, the NAACP carry our banners. We're asking for the redistricting of our society, of our state and in different societies. We're calling people. We're asking you, the listeners, to come out and help us, join with us to make our lives, as Mr. Bobby Pierce and Ms. Norma, I'm sorry, Ms. Linda
Payson was talking about, our families. We need you all to join. We need you all to come to help us. We need to make it a village to help each other. Thank you.
Now you have we're going to yield at this time to bring Evangelist Dr. Chapman back in.
Okay, I'm sorry, co-host. We want to thank our first vice president of the New Orleans NAACP, and we do have more information to share with you as we go through the show on today. We also want to thank our secretary, Ms. Linda Payson, an awesome job, and our lovely treasurer, Ms. Shirley. And since nobody mentioned me in introducing me, let me introduce myself to you. I am the host of Facing the Future Radio Show, but I also serve as the second vice president in the New Orleans, NAACP New Orleans branch. And I would like to talk about then the struggles then and the struggles now. But I'm going to bring a little bit biblical stuff up in here. I had an opportunity to be the speaker at Thessalonians Church of God in Christ under the leadership of Superintendent Eugene King and the lovely elect lady, Evangelist Susan King, on Sunday. And I'm going to give you a little bit of what I talked about, but I'm not going to give you the whole sermon. But I'm reminded today of our ancestors who were slaves on plantations. Before I go there, let me bring you to the Bible in the book of Exodus. When Moses was on Mount Sinai God spoke to him from a burning bush, and he said to Moses to go to old Pharaoh and tell old Pharaoh to let my people go. But I'm here to tell you on today, nothing is new under the sun. The world goes around, but nothing is under the sun. Why? What are you saying, Dr. Chapman? What I'm saying is that just as Pharaoh's heart was stubborn, was hardened, in the book of Exodus, and he refused to let God's people go. After they left, after he did permit them to leave, it still was a struggle. They lingered in the wilderness for 40 years. Now, I'm reminded today of our ancestors who were slaves on plantations. The only difference is that they were kings back in the biblical time, but they called themselves master now. They were the masters of the plantation. They worked the people, the slaves, day in, and they worked them day out. Every day, our ancestors had to work in the master's field. They wasn't allowed to eat and drink with white folks. They wasn't allowed to use the same bathrooms and eat out of the same plates. Drink from the same as white did. Well, let's bring it up to date. Those of us who was born in the 30s, 40s, and 50s, even the 60s, nothing have changed. We still have to abide by the white man's rules and regulations. If they didn't then, and if we don't now, they had hell to pay, and we still have hell to pay today. What I'm saying here is, up until that time, when many of our freedom fighters began fighting for the black man and the black woman to have the same equal rights as a white man and a white woman, only then things began to turn around. Many of them was beaten and even lost their lives fighting for freedom to free our people, and they're still fighting for justice today. Think about it. Nothing is new under the sun. And I don't care how far back we go and where they were then versus to where we are today, we are still in a freedom fight struggle. The NAACP fight diligently for our people, not only here in the city, in our great city of New Orleans, but the NAACP is nationwide. They fight every day for the people, for we to get to where Martin Luther King, Medgar Evers, and so many others have lost their lives. We're still fighting that struggle as Martin Luther King said, to get to the promised land. And before I bring the first vice president back in, and let me remind you, we are still fighting, but we have come a long ways from where we were then and where we are now. But I'm concerned, First Vice President, where we will be going tomorrow. And this is our hope, our dream for our children and their children and their children to have a better life. Yes, we have some things going for us now that we didn't have an opportunity to do. Our ancestors did not have an opportunity. I know I was born in the 50s, in the early 50s. Things are much better for me now. But my hopes and dreams are that it would be much better for my children, my grandchildren, my great-grand, and so on, generations and generations to come. Now, what is the issues? What, when the NAACP said, when we fight, we win? And our first vice president, our secretary, even our treasurer can come in at any time and join in with me with this. The fight, every day of the week, someone is fighting up in Baton Rouge, the legislators. Someone is fighting right here in the city of New Orleans with our councilman, fighting that the city. We have issues right here that needs to be resolved. People talk about it. They fuss about it. They have issues about it. But we cannot fight it alone. The more fight, the more people in the fight, the more we can bravely say, when we fight, we win. I'm going to yield here now before I bring in the first, Mrs. Perkins, have you ask any questions at this time? Do you have any questions? If you can let our co-host ask questions, we will hear from Ms. Perkins, and then we will turn the studio back over to our guest on today. And remember, we do have a lot of time left. You still have an opportunity to just press that number one if you want to join in on this conversation on today. If you have any questions, comments, I just want to share your thoughts on today's topic. We're talking about remembering the struggle then and now. As I yield to the co-host at this time, if she have any questions that she wants to ask our guest. Following you, then Ms. Perkins can come in with her questions. Thank you. Co-host. In the studio with us. If not, we'll move on to Ms. Perkins with her questions.
My thought is that if parents get more involved with their children and discuss these things with their children, a lot of children, they don't know anything about the past or what we've been through, because all they know is what their parents are giving them, you know, the best that they can give them, and new brand name clothes and shoes and stuff. And they're not talking to them about what our ancestors been through and how far we came. So they really don't know. And they are involved in a lot of things. And the parents are so busy that they're not, some of them not even paying attention to what's going on with the children until it's too late. They should be talking to them about it and letting them know that it may be easier for them, but it wasn't easy for our ancestors, and that they paved the way for us, that we may be better. But it seems like things are getting worse, and we feel then it's like when a child dies from getting killed or something, it hurts me even though I don't know the child. you know, and when they're into it and fighting and going on, that it don't have to be my child for me to be concerned. And then when you see how the children are, and the parents are not, sometimes it seems like the parents are afraid of the children. So really, I've enjoyed everything that's been said, and I agree with everything, and I pray that things would get better among our children, and I pray that the parents will realize that they need to do more, pay more attention to their children and tell their children how far we come to get where we are today, because a lot of them don't know that. And a lot, because I have talked to my children and my grandchildren and talked to my children about they take them everywhere else for vacations and stuff. And I have talked to them and asked them, why don't they take them to the Civil Rights Building, take them somewhere where they can find out what happened, even to take them to let them listen to the voice of Martin Luther King, where they haven't gotten there yet, no matter, you know, what I say. So we really need to pray for our children as well as others' children. And I thank y'all so much, and I hope other listeners are on here today.
All right. We thank Ms. Perkins, but I'm still waiting for your questions. Do you have any questions for our guest, Ms. Evangelist Perkins? Do you have any questions for our guest?
Okay. Now if you, the question, all right, I have a question. What do we do to make things better our children and grandchildren? Okay.
This is Bobby Pierce. Can I respond?
But I was going to let her come back with her question, because she did make a statement, and I do have to yield and go to my co-host now for her questioning, and we will come back to Evangelist Perkins. We have time in the show, but we have to yield now for the co-host to come with her questioning, and we have to turn it back over to you. But yes, Mr. Pierce, you can answer her question, and after you answer the question, hear from our co-host with questions.
Okay,
one other question. We will make our comments a little later. And go ahead, Mr. Perkins.
Okay,
Mr. Pierce.
Yeah, my question is, my response is to Evangelist Perkins' comment, and her question was that what can we do to help our children? And I think that she hit it right on the head. Is that we must, as parents, parental people, we must get involved in our children's daily activity, because we've got some information that we need to share with them. Even though, you know, we got the children. See, in the days of yesteryears, as I say, is that our parents made sure that we learned. We had homework time, we had play time, and we had eating time. Everything was set, and everything had its purpose. And, yeah, we learned about the people out there in the struggle. See, we learned about Emmett Till's struggle from the house, from our parents. Even though a lot of the parents was not educated to the point that they could help you with reading, writing, and arithmetic and all that, but they could help you enrich your mind. And that's what we didn't have. We didn't have it. I mean, now – they don't have the children going to the Bible study. They don't have the children going to the Sunday school. No matter what the faith is that this, you know, we've got organizations out there, say like Big Brothers, Big Sisters. We've got Boys Town. We got all that stuff out there that's for the children, for those parents who don't have the time to spend for the children. This organization has the time, because they have those volunteers there. But we got to make time to make sure that our children get there and get the, because it does not make sense, and it's not for us to do, is that we cannot stand by forever. They are destroying us. Listen to the number of children getting killed. Children getting killed at 9 o'clock. A 12-year-old getting killed at 9 o'clock. 11-year-old getting killed at a birthday party at 12 o'clock. That's unheard of. Because
right.
you should be at home by that time.
All right. We're going to have to move forward because we do, it's getting late in the show now. And we're going to hear from our co-hosts. And co-hosts, ask two questions. And when you answer them, guests, please be brief with your answers because we do want to hear back from you. We do have an announcement that we want to put out there in the public that what's going on this weekend in reference to the NAACP. And we do want to hear from our callers. If there are any callers out there and you have a comment question, I just want to share your thoughts on today's topic, remembering the struggles then and now. Press that number one. I'm diligently looking down on my dashboard waiting for you to press that number one. You may come in, and we will want to hear from our listeners on today. Co-host.
Good evening. I just want to say I have truly enjoyed just sitting listening to all of the information that's been shared. But one of the things that I would just like to pretty much make a statement and share is that and pretty much each person has shared, even down to Ms. Perkins, a bit on it. My main concern is the constructive criticism. As we always have said, it takes a village to raise a child. And it's not so much with the children or the youth, which we know we have a major issue in that arena, but I think it's as a whole. Sometimes we forget because maybe we have accomplished some things or gained some things. We tend to forget, but we can't let those things blindside us to the fact that the struggle is still real. And there's a lot of work been done, but there's still a lot of work that we have to do. And we have to come together in unity and work together. I've heard all of that said. So I'm just grateful for hearing what I've heard thus far. And if we would connect into that, join together, push forward, we could see even more change. We can't get comfortable right here because a few things has happened. There's so much more that needs to happen.
All right. Well, let me explain this. I'm going back to the Bible because that's where I stand on the word of God. But the children stayed in the wilderness for 40 years, just as people today, they're not obeying God. If my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, only then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins. And will heal the land. That's 2 Chronicles, the 7th chapter, 14th verse. We are complaining about pandemic, sickness, death is all around us. The same God that was with the Israelites or the same God is with us today. Here in the passage, we see God is clearly saying to the people, you have gone astray. Our young people are gone astray. Why? The Bible tells us because of lack of knowledge. Do you know that we can bring humanity and we can help our country if we only humble ourselves, seek God's face and pray. And we must teach our children to obey the word of God. If they're not obeying, if they can't obey God, how would they obey their parents, their teachers? And we must obey the laws of the land. That don't mean we do everything they tell us to do. You know, same-sex marriage and abortion, all that's not of God. But we do have to obey the laws of the land. If we stick to God's word, are we losing our children? Our children are dying out here. Our children are robbing old folks or hijacking cars and doing some of everything that I never even heard of and I never even saw in my whole life. But we must continue to teach our children God's way, teach our children to obey leaders, to teach our children to learn and go strong and be a part of justice. We can fight and fight and fight. One day we're going to be gone. They're going to have to stand for themselves. My children, your children, grandkids and great-grandkids, they're going to have to stand for themselves. We teach them about the Bible, but we must teach them about fighting justice, how they can be able, what they have done then, what we are doing now and what will come tomorrow. They have to go forward and keep the dream alive. They have to go everything that the NAACP and the Freedom Fighters are fighting for. If the fight is not over, and it may not be over, hopefully it will, before my great-great-grandchildren. But if not, they're going to have to come and be a part and learn about freedom fighting, and as well as staying firm on the word of God. Now, if you don't stand on God's word, everything around you is going to fail. They took prayers out of the school. Then they brought guns in. Up in Washington, they turned away from God's word and started doing what they wanted to do. Abomination of God. Uh-huh. We cannot live that way. We cannot continue to disobey God. This is why we have what's going on around us today. But we do know, the ones who know God, know that God is still in control of our lives. God is still the answer to all of our prayers. And it's getting late in the show. I'm going to close my mouth here. And I'm going to let, we do have some callers, and we're going to hear from them at this time. Calling from our code 504-212162. Call our code 504-212162. Good afternoon, caller. You're now live. Caller from our code 504-212. You're now live. 504. Last four digits, 2162. You're now live on air. All right, we're going to go on to our next caller. And I'm going to ask you not to press that number one unless you have a comment, question. I want to share your thoughts, okay? We're going to go back to our co-host at this time. I believe she has a question for our guest. And then after you close, please turn the studio back over to our guest so they can bring a closing to their topic on today. We want to hear back from them, and I believe the first vice president and secretary has an announcement to make about this week's event that's going on here in our city, co-host.
Yes, I just wanted to ask, I'll just put the question out there for either one of our amazing speakers to shed some light on. I know that in the past we've marched for different things, and that's good. But my question is now: a lot of times when the lives are taken, or black lives, of course all lives matter. When someone is killed or what have you, our African American young men or whoever, we want to march. But my concern is now: what is the issue now with the black on black crime, with us killing one another? What is the recommendation for that? We want to go march when a police or somebody else kill them, and that's wrong. And wrong is wrong regardless of how it comes. But my concern is, what are you doing when you want to black-on-black crime?
My concern, Bobby Pierce, I don't know. Let me tell you, this is what I feel about that, is that black-on-black crime is just as bad as black-on-white crime. And we
that's
must
right.
fight, and we must stand and fight for all. We must stand and fight for justice. And then when
That's
we march,
right.
march is a part of fighting. Is that we
That's
fight
right.
because if we see something coming down the pipe, if there's a law coming, we do that against the government because see the government is not doing what they need to do. When we look at
mm-hmm.
when we look at the black on black crime, the government is not doing what we need to do. So we have to march. So y'all have to do what you
Gotta
need
march.
To do. Whether
mm-hmm.
you're gonna bring charges here. You know the guy Avery, he sat there. We had to march over there. In Alabama, we had to march and say,
That's
no,
right.
wait a minute. The district attorney say, no, we ain't going to do it. But it wasn't marching saying that these guys were guilty. The march was saying, let's pay attention to justice. Let's
That's
pay
right.
attention to justice. Everybody must pay attention to justice. And it was just
That's
by
right.
that coincidence. There's these three white boys, they're going to kill the black guy. But that's not what we focused on. We focused on the
mm-hmm.
point is that if you kill somebody, you're going to stand justice. You're going to go over under the
That's
same scrutiny as everybody else. And
That's
it doesn't matter whether you're black or white.
That's right.
You know, you have
you
to, Evangelist Chapman was talking about the, she was talking about the justice. And that's where it is. Where is the justice in this?
Justice.
That's what we fight for. We fight for justice.
That's right.
And then we've got to be,
and
we don't, we never asked,
it.
I did, Yeah, go ahead.
And the reason I asked that question is because I posed similar the same thing that you're saying in a conversation as some things came up in this community as that relates. And my same statement was justice is justice, regardless of who you are, what color you are, wrong is wrong. It don't change
That's
because
correct.
Of the color of your skin. Just like we out
That's
there
correct.
Marching for them to stop doing it on this side, we ought to march for all these young. What are we doing with this black-on-black crime? Justice is justice. A life is a life. All lives matter. And justice should
That's
be
right.
done for if you do wrong, regardless of what your color or whatever, you should be dealt with according to the right punishment for your crime, regardless of how wealthy you are or whether you come from low income or high. None of that should matter. Justice should be justice. And I hope one day we could get to that place where justice is for everyone. They say justice for all, but no, it's for some.
Yeah,
should
we should. Justice is justice.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much. I'll yield back to you. Thank you all so
very
much. This is such
an
awesome
topic. We've heard very little from our secretary and our treasurer at this time. Time is getting late. And we have time for our calls. So just press that number one if you want to say anything to our guests on today. I apologize. I'm very hoarse, but nevertheless, we are going to continue talking about the struggles then and where we are now. So we're going to yield to our branch secretary and see, and very, very short because the show is about to come to an end, and let her bring her closing remarks on her topic, on the topic for today. And if she has an announcement to make in reference to the weekend, and then we're going to hear a short closing from our treasurer, and we're going to turn back over to the first vice president to say a little something about what's going on the weekend. And we have to move very fast because time is of essence now. Secretary.
Hi. How you doing? I just want to piggyback off that question regarding what should we do now with our youth. We, like the president here said, we have a lot of organizations that's there for our youth, but we got to get our youth there. But I was always taught that training comes from the home. So we need to get together and try to train some of these young parents to do the right thing, to learn about the struggles we had in the past, and then embrace our future, embrace the things that we have to offer for our youth, our underprivileged youth. We need to get them and their parents on the same page. So we, as an NAACP member, I press upon my counterparts to try to reach the undeserving youth and get them into our organization or any organization that is able to help them, meet
yes.
them where they are. Educate them. Let them know. We can't just give them clothes and material things. We got to give them knowledge. Knowledge is power.
All right. All right.
Amen.
Okay, we want to thank our treasurer your closing remarks at this time.
Okay, I think what the first vice president said, and the co-host, I think they said it greatly about the, and Ms. Payzant, about crime is crime, no matter what color is on what color. Is it black on black, black on white, white on black? It's crime. It's justice. But the question I have is that when Black Lives Matter, was it because they thought that the blacks were being mistreated or were not treated equally in society when they committed a crime or when crime was done toward them? And that's one question. The other question is, I totally agree about having to give our youth more to do, especially in the evenings and late hours. Having once upon a time when
go ahead.
When
we got a couple.
Okay. Once upon a time when the different Mayor Muriel and some of these other mayors was here in the city of New Orleans. What happened? They had the evening basketball and gyms and things for young people to go and hang out to keep them away from idle things. Maybe we need to start bringing these things back in. And I remember bringing my son to football practice, baseball practice, and community football and baseball practice, not at school. I don't see that much more. Maybe we need to start that again with the Y. I don't even know what's going on with them, but we need to get into that too, I think. So that would be one good point or one place to start with trying to pull our youth back into us, to draw them back in to do better and take some of that peer pressure away.
Amen. Listeners, we are getting late and only a couple of minutes left in the show. I was saying about our youth, about crime today, and my concern is what's going to come tomorrow. But I'm going to still stand and say that we can do all things through Christ that strengthens us. Remember, no weapon formed against us shall prosper. Yes, it may form, but it will not prosper. Strong and courageous, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, shall be with us. Go forward. Go upward, go onward, trusting God every step of the way. Yes, we shall overcome. We shall get to the promised land. We shall be all right one day, as we the shall get to the promised land. And I'm going to let our first vice president do a second or two closing remarks, and then I'm going to turn it over to my co-host for our closing prayer, because we've gotten to that hour now, and we were here last week from First Vice President, and you should make that announcement about the weekend, First Vice.
Yes, we have, thank you, Evangelist. Here in New Orleans, we have what we're calling our Black History Program, and it's going to be on Sunday, the last Sunday of the month, the 28th. It's going to be at 2 o'clock p.m. at the St. James AME, Historical St. James AME Church. We're gonna have a cross-section of people telling you about the struggle, telling you where we've been and where we're to come, where we're going, and what we need to do. And included in that, we're going to have some speakers that's outstanding. We're going to have judges and attorneys. We're going to have the liturgical dancers. We're having youth dancers. We're going to have a whole cattery of things. So if someone is here or someone wants to come into New Orleans, we're right there at 2220. Phillip Street, is that it? So we want to make sure.
North Roman.
If you want to come.
North Roman.
North Roman. If you want to come to the city or if you live here in the city, make sure that you come on down and you can get something from it. This is a vision of our second vice president, Evangelist Norma Chapman, and we're going to do it, and we're going to give you some information that you don't know anything about. We're going to give you some information that you can build on, and you can help the children for our future. Thank you.
Okay. All right, there you have it. Thank all of our listeners for tuning in on today's Facing the Fish Radio Talk Show, hosted by yours truly, Evangelist Norma Chapman, with our awesome co-host out of Miami, Florida, none other than Apostle Doris Smith, out of Baton Rouge, Evangelist Perkins, closing prayer co-host. And don't forget to pray for the sick and the shabby, and thank you.
Father, we just thank you and we praise you. We lift you up and magnify your name. We thank you for the unified force today as we share, praise God, on the struggles now and then. And, Lord, we know that you are with us. We know that you are for us. And we know, Lord, as long as our faith is in you, you said eyes haven't seen, ears haven't heard. You said it hasn't even entered in the heart of man what you have in store for those that trust you. We will continue to look to you. We will continue to trust you. Lord, we ask that you look on those, praise God, that are dealing with symptoms, that are dealing with any issue. We know that you are the issue solver. We know that you can do everything but fail. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name,
all
amen.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
When we fight, freedom fighters, what? When we fight, we what?
We win.
We
fight,
win.
We win.
We win.
We win. Yes,
we win.
Amen. Y'all have a blessed day.
Amen.
God bless.
Pray for the NCP New Orleans chapter as we continue to fight for justice. We love you, and remember to come down and see us in person at 2222 North Roman Street this Sunday at the historical St. James Methodist Church. God bless you. God keep you. This is the end of our show. Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.